the violence only really started on January the 19th when the government passed a constitution, or rather made changes to a constitution that criminalized political speech. That basically made it possible to try to find a political solution to the problem, and violence broke out soon afterwards. But because I'm a historian and not a political analyst, I tend to look for solutions further back in the past. And what you said about the people of Ukraine wanting to move closer to Europe and the leadership wanting to move closer to Russia isn't, strictly speaking, accurate, because there are people within the leadership who would like to move closer to Europe, and by no means is the population of Ukraine, or at least not 3 months ago when the protests began, when it really was about the EU, by no means was it clear to the entire population of Ukraine that they wanted to move closer to Europe, in the same way that Kansas or the South don't necessarily feel the same way as New York City or Washington, D.C. So there is a variety of opinions within Ukraine. And within Ukraine, it breaks down among geographic and historical lines. Part of the population, especially in Western Ukraine, was under the Austrians in the last several centuries before becoming a part of the Russian Empire very, very recently. And the eastern part of Ukraine became part of the Russian Empire as early as 1654. So those two groups have very different, obviously, reactions toward Russians, toward what it means to be connected to Russia. And Crimea only became part of Ukraine in 1954 as a present from Khrushchev. So you can imagine that the way that Crimeans feel isn't necessarily similar to the way that people feel elsewhere in Ukraine.
So it sounds like the opposition to the government is made up of many factions and many beliefs. It's not a unified bloc.
No, absolutely not. And actually, the last few months, and last month in particular, and especially the last few days, have actually turned even those who would have been sympathetic to Yanukovych, even those people have now turned against him largely. The Kyiv Institute for Sociology just did a poll which showed that if there were a runoff between Yanukovych, who 3 months ago really did have his supporters and came to power in an election. I mean, it's not as if he came to power illegally. If 3 months ago he might have had a fair chance, now, according to this poll, 65% of the population would vote for Klitschko, his main opponent, and only 35% would vote for Yanukovych.
So when the European Union and other outside forces try to intervene and try to reach a ceasefire or some sort of peace agreement, the fact that the opposition is so split, who do they talk to? Who do they reach out to?
Well, actually, the opposition is less and less split, because the opposition may have different reasons for opposing the current regime. But one thing that everyone in the opposition, and I might point out that the opposition is increasingly growing, does agree on is that Yanukovych has to go, and that that's already a start. So whether one wants to talk to Klitschko, whether one wants to talk to Tikhipko, whether one wants to talk to Yatsenyuk, I mean, that right now the spokesperson for the opposition isn't the crucial point. The crucial point is that having Yanukovych leave is really a precondition for peace in Ukraine.
There's some talk. President Obama mentioned some talk of sanctions. Could that do any good? And what kind of economic sanctions could be imposed?
Sanctions absolutely could do good. And in fact, the kind of sanctions that would do the most good would be to make it difficult for the oligarchs, the wealthiest people in Ukraine who have been Yanukovych's biggest backers, to make it difficult for them to get their assets abroad. That would have a very, very quick and immediate effect. Sanctions would also have a dampening effect on Yanukovych himself, because one of the things that people have found fault with him for is the incredible amount of corruption on the part of both him and his family. Now, there's an amount of corruption that people are willing to tolerate. And the very fact that he went beyond those very generous borders actually is a sign of just how corrupt he is. So actually, another thing to do would be to make it difficult for people who are close to Yanukovych to give them visas to travel to the United States.
As of right now, it appears the police and the military are on the side of the government, doing the government's bidding and trying to quell these riots. But how strong is that support?
You mean how strong is the support of the police
and the police
for the
and
government?
The police for the government, the army for the government. Could they change?
Well, that depends on where you're talking about. In Kyiv itself, yes, that's probably true. However, in Western Ukraine, the demonstrators, the opposition, has succeeded in taking over a number of government offices, a number of arsenals. The police in those areas is sympathetic to them and on their side. So I wouldn't talk about the police as a single entity over Ukraine.
What is Vladimir Putin's role, Russia's role in all of this? Is he tacitly underground trying to push this one way or the other?
Well, it's an interesting question. No one can quite read his mind, unlike George W. Bush. I haven't looked into his eyes and don't know what he's really thinking. But on the other hand, it is clear that it's in Putin's interests to have a stable Ukraine on his borders and not an unstable Ukraine on his borders. It's certainly clear that Putin supported Yanukovych. After all, he offered him billions of dollars in support after Yanukovych indicated that the EU deal wasn't going through. So clearly, Putin put his money where his mouth was and supported Yanukovych. On the other hand, that was implicitly or explicitly predicated on the assumption that Yanukovych would be able to keep order. And I might point out that the violence is really something, because in Europe, in the last, in decades, it actually has not been normal for the police to use not just brutality, but to actually kill protesters. If you think about Greece, if you think about Spain, there have been very violent clashes between the police and protesters. But to actually go to the extent of killing protesters, that's something that actually shocks Europe.